Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
So the second reading is from John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. And it's on page 1076. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Good Shepherd. Thank you for this promise that those who belong to you know your voice. Thank you that you call us. Thank you that you care for us and tend us. Thank you that you provide for us in every way that we need for this life of faith and obedience. Please help us to be a thankful people, your sheep. And we ask this for your glory. Amen. Well, if you turn to Psalm 100, page 604. If we get it wrong this evening, what this psalm is about, I've gone very badly wrong. Because it says, Psalm 100, look, this is part of the inspired text, a psalm for giving thanks. So can we be clear that if we leave here not full of thanks, then we've got something wrong? And I just want to say that doesn't mean our circumstances will necessarily be happy ones. Indeed, there may be very painful circumstances in your lives. But I hope that we'll be able to give thanks for Jesus being the Good Shepherd as we go through this psalm. This Psalm 100 brings, I think, these psalms to a wonderful climax of praise and joy. It is a wonderful celebration by people who love their Lord, Yahweh, and who love to express their adoration of him. The whole tone of this psalm is very clear, isn't it? This is an exuberant psalm. And I did wonder whether at the end of this, Kate should lead us in a praise march around Buxton. She said she had her tambourine ready and whatever else was needed. But in fact, it was sung as God's Old Testament people went up to the temple. Look at verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So if you can imagine people moving up to the temple, singing this, and with all the responses here, that's the idea. Now, we no longer process to the temple. In fact, actually, rather more extraordinary and profoundly, Christians are now the temple, the house of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's the teaching of the New Testament. We are, as 1 Peter says, living stones indwelt by the Holy Spirit, being built together. So what a significant meeting this is in front of me. The temple, the people of God indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I actually called this psalm the Lord's people in his presence. But note as we start that the first verse is once again an invitation to the whole world. Verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. It's run through all these psalms. So though the Lord, Yahweh, you can see the large capitals there, though Yahweh was the name that God had revealed to his people Israel, of course God's purposes are for the whole world. The whole point of him choosing his people was to be a light to the nations, to say, look how marvelous it is. Come and join us. Come and join us. Verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. The joyful praise and thanks of the Lord's people should spill out like an invitation to the whole world. When John Wesley became a Christian, one significant influence on him was the life of one of the porters at his Oxford College. And Wesley discovered that the man only had one coat and he often only had one meal, yet the man was overflowing with joy and thanks to God. And Wesley asked him, you thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie upon. What else do you thank him for? And the porter said, I thank him because he's given me my life, my being, a heart to love Jesus and a desire to serve him. And that was part of the process by which the great John Wesley came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we meet together today, this meeting should be a great kind of engine room, shouldn't it? For praise and thanks for the world to know that Jesus is our God and Lord. And so would people who were in our midst and who met us during the week when we live our lives individually, would they sense praise and thanks and joy in the Lord? Well, let me encourage you. We had somebody new with us this morning, and one of the things she said was, what a joyful church we were. So what a relief that is. What a relief that is. Praise God. No, seriously, praise God for that. She said a number of other things. All positive. Now, there seems to be a clear structure, I think. There are two verses of exhortation and command in verses 1 and 2, and that's followed by a reason in the second part of verse 3. And then the cycle is repeated. Verse 4 is an exhortation, and verse 5 is the reason. So look at the exhortation in verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And then the beginning of verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. And it is implied, I think, that there is a for or because. For it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So know that the Lord is God, Yahweh. And then look at the exhortation in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And then there's the reason. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So I've put down as a heading, know and worship the Lord with joyful praise and thanks. Why should they know and worship the Lord with joyful service, joyful worship, joyful thanks and praise? Well, firstly, because the Lord is the good shepherd. The Lord is the good shepherd who saves his people. I think the in verse 3, the for or because is implied. It is wonderful, isn't it, that we can know the Lord is God. Yahweh had made himself known in a wonderful way, so his people may know him. And look what it says that he has done for them. It is he who made us, and we are his. He had made promises to his people Israel, and he'd kept his promises. He saved his people from slavery in Egypt. He led them across the desert. He provided for them in every way. And he settled his people in the promised land. It is he who made us, and we are his. But the Lord is also pictured as the shepherd. End of verse 3. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord had protected them and provided for them as the good shepherd. Think in the desert. He had fed them with manna and quail. He gave them water. He guided them. He was the shepherd. The Lord was the shepherd who tended them. He provided for them with everything they needed for their life of faith and obedience. So why should these God's people know and worship the Lord with joyful service, with joyful praise and thanks? Because the Lord is the good shepherd who saves his people. But then secondly, because the Lord is eternally good, loving and faithful. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The Lord is good. What a wonderful thing to be able to say. We've rather devalued the word good I'm always slightly confused when somebody says, have a good day to me. I'm not quite sure, ever sure what that means. But in the God of the Bible, we see true goodness. We see true goodness. And the writer tells us two things, two aspects of God's goodness, the Lord's goodness. The Lord's love endures forever. This is his goodness, that his love endures forever. The word hesed, meaning loving kindness. A loving kindness that is everlasting for his people. And his faithfulness continues forever through all generations. He's faithful to his people. He's faithful to his promises. I love the narrative in Exodus chapter 2, where it says this. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. And that remembering there isn't that he'd forgotten it, but now was the moment when he was going to show his faithfulness to his covenant promises and save his people from slavery. There'd been 400 years of silence. And he is loving and faithful to save them and bring them to the promised land. So, how can we sing this as Christians? Because we're not Old Testament Jews. Well, know that the Lord is God. Praise God that the one true God is the God who makes himself known. He makes himself known to his people Israel, but he supremely, fully, finally sends his Son into the world. As John says, the Word came from the Father to make him known. And we can know that the Lord is God. He speaks and acts in his Son, the Lord Jesus. More than that, God is revealed as Trinity. The one God who is Father, Son, and Spirit is good. Right in there, in the heart of the very nature of God as Trinity, is love. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, they love the Spirit. That is God's goodness. He loves and he gives. And of course that love spills out, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And his love endures forever. When times are hard, we look to the death of Jesus, don't we? To reassure us that God is good and that he loves us. Whatever's going on around us, whatever is going on around us, we look to the cross of Christ. How do I know that God loves me? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that I might not perish but have eternal life. I mean, the circumstances around us can be rotten, but there we know his love and we can give him thanks. And his goodness is seen in his faithfulness. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The Lord Jesus is not moody. He doesn't act one way to us one day and then another day. He's different. He's faithful to the promises he makes. He doesn't change. His word is dependable. He's faithful. He will keep his promises. And of course, we sing this as Christians who know Jesus as our good shepherd. It is Jesus who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. In John 10, Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, why does he say he's the good shepherd? Because, of course, in John 10, he's contrasting himself with the bad shepherds. The bad shepherds, those religious leaders who don't recognize who Jesus is and who lead people away from Jesus. Jesus calls them thieves and robbers, hired hands. There's another type of shepherd, a false shepherd, a bad shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd. How do we know that he's good? Well, in all the things that he says in John 10, read it this week. The false shepherds come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Just think for a moment of Jesus as your good shepherd. Just think how good Jesus is to you. Well, he dies for us. He made us his by dying for us. Jesus knows us. It's all in John 10. He knows us. Says he knows his sheep by name. He cares for us. Not like the bad shepherds, the hired hands. He provides all that we need for the life of faith and obedience. He gives us his word. He gives us his spirit. Jesus unites us, talks about how we're a flock together. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Let's repent of our individualism. We're a flock together. And Jesus leads us. The shepherd speaks his word, and his sheep know his voice and they follow. So, what a good shepherd we have who is loving and who is faithful. So, how are we going to go out from here on our praise march? Shouting for joy to the Lord, all the earth, worshipping the Lord with gladness, coming before him with joyful songs, entering his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we should be joyful always, give thanks in all circumstances. I remember when I was growing up as a Christian, there was a book out, actually. Some people here may remember it. Somebody wanted to argue that actually what it meant was give thanks for all circumstances. That's not what it says. In all circumstances, we can still thank our good shepherd who cares for us and keeps us through all the difficulties and trials. There are rotten things that happen. The wonderful thing is that our good shepherd will use them to deepen our dependence on him, and so that we know that he'll provide everything that we need. So I want to get you to talk to one another and ask this question to each other and have a chat about it. Why might we not worship and know the Lord with joy and thanks and praise this week? You see, if I was to ask you, you'd say, yeah, of course we should be full of thanks and praise. You know, I mean, that's kind of, it's like apple pie, isn't it, really? It's exactly what should happen. But I want to ask you, why won't you be this week? All right? I want to ask you the negative. and it may highlight the positive. Why might we not worship and know the Lord with joy and thanks and praise this week? Have a chat to your neighbour, somebody near you. You can do it in threes or whatever. Have a chat to each other. Okay, why don't we just share? Anybody like to share? Why might we not know and worship the Lord with joyful praise and thanks this week? Anybody want to share anything? We can really push the boat out at this evening, so we've started a new time. Anybody want to? David? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and as somebody who, I'll share by way of testimony, I have taken antidepressants. I've been depressed. My experience was that I actually didn't lose joy, because I think that's something slightly different. That was my experience. I never lost joy that I belonged to the Lord Jesus, that he'd forgiven me, that I was heading for heaven. But, yeah, there are things that can be happening which mean that we are depressed, you know, physically, mentally. So I think that's a thank you for sharing that, you know. I think that's important to think through. Yeah, thank you. Just so you know, I mean, I used to get very black days, days when I was, it was just, things were very dark. But even in that, I never used to get a lot of work done, just couldn't even concentrate, read a sentence to the end. Speaking personally, I never lost joy in the Lord Jesus. I always knew that he cared for me in that. So I don't want to talk about it necessarily being always exuberant. I think that's the key thing. Yeah, maybe. Anything? Okay, thank you. Yeah, there's a lot there. Distractions, priorities. What was the third one? Being overwhelmed, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, could you repeat what you said?
Yeah, sorry.
It's very hard to hear.
I know. Sorry. He was saying that there could be distractions.
Distractions, overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. So we could actually be worshipping an idol, something which we think is very significant, which is actually means that we don't really able to focus on the Lord, which would be a priority, wouldn't it? That you're saying this is terribly important, but actually this preoccupies you. Yes, brother, unconfessed sin. Do you want to personally share with us, John? No, okay, we'll tell you that. Yeah. I mean, the psalmist talks about wasting away when he doesn't confess his sin. So there's an ongoing battle with sin, and there's an ongoing need to confess sin and repent straight away. And the good shepherd is only too pleased to forgive. But thank you, that's very important, isn't it? The danger is when we don't repent and don't confess. Anything else?
When we forget to see what blessings God has actually poured out upon us, and just concentrate on the negative things that have happened to us.
I put down a temptation can be we forget that God is good, or we're tempted to think he isn't good, which of course is Satan's temptation. He's not good. Look what's happening. Look at the circumstances that are going on. But he is good. He's the good shepherd. I mean, trials, as people have said. I put down, sometimes we have to be mindful of the stage of life we're at. Is it difficult to know exuberant joy when you've had many sleepless nights as a young mum? Well, I think we can know joy even in the midst of changing nappy after nappy, which isn't to say that men shouldn't change nappies, by the way. I put down distractions here as well.